morning, honorable members and the, our guests. We want to apologize for for arriving late. I'm told that the secretary has said the meeting is 9:30 when it's supposed to be at 10, because I had a meeting with AG which started at 9 until 10 o'clock. So my apologies, honorable members and the, our guests that we've invited to this meeting. Honorable members, you'll remember that when we met with the Grain SA, they've raised the issues of tariffs, which is more of a challenge, and we then said for us to understand what this does must actually invite the stakeholder that is dealing with that to come and brief us. So we want to take the opportunity to thank you for having accepting our invitation to this meeting. We take the opportunity to give you time to present as requested by honorable members. We will start by introducing the team and then go into the presentation.
Thank you, Chair. Morning, honorable members. I am Siyabulela Thengiwe, the Chief Commissioner of ITEC. I'm with Rika Tiart. She's one of our senior managers in tariff investigations, responsible for, among others, the agriculture sector. Let me not waste time and go straight to the presentation. Those are the items that I will be speaking to, starting with the policy, the variable tariff formula for wheat, maize, and sugar. I'll explain briefly how the variable tariff formula works, and I'll also take you through the changes in tariff that we've had for wheat and sugar since 2018 and 2014.
Before we proceed, yes. my apologies for interrupting you. He introduced the trade call, but I see the room is full to capacity. Is it not possible for us to know who else is here? Because it will be important as we interact, we must know who we're talking to.
Okay. Can we start with the gentleman that introduce, or the lady, sorry ma'am, introduce yourself and pose around. Thank you, Honorable Maloy.
Thank you. In the introduction, Mr. Sorry,
I'm in the FADC.
Car DPC, Liberal Insular Attorneys, you represent the South African Poultry Association.
Okay. Bulilan Philip, FAC.
Joseph Zanko from Hilton Lambert, we are representatives of the milk industry.
Gino Giovanni for Onion Foods.
Dirk Spreidum, Grain SA.
Mark Lawson for the LPP.
Morning, Chair and everybody. I'm Muriel Ho-Yun from AFRICOM. Thanks.
Good morning, everybody. Johan Peterson, Akuba Wines.
For the issue from Maybach, Kirin Tawantzak. Jolene van Dijk, Media 24, Landbouw Weerblad.
Good morning, Ashley from PNG.
Morning, members. My name is Namakudish Mofani, Teachers Office Agriculture.
Okay. Thank you very much. Can go through the presentation.
Through you, Chair, let me thank the honorable member for the intervention. I also now have a better sense of the audience. As I was saying, honorable members, I will then take you through the trend analysis of the import data for wheat, maize, and sugar, and also speak to the current reviews of the domestic reference price that we are busy with as HITEC. Talk about the tariff regime for chicken meat, and lastly, talk about trade remedies on poultry meat. The tariff regime for wheat, maize, and sugar, known as the variable tariff formula, is government policy for these specific grains, which is completely different from the tariff regime that we have for all other agricultural products. It was first introduced in 1999 by the then Board on Tariffs and Trade, that is ITEC's predecessor. The purpose was to give price support to farmers who were now exposed to the volatility of the global markets as a result of trade reforms. This followed the deregulation of the agricultural sector. In the global market, prices fluctuate from top to bottom. A floor price, known as the domestic reference price, was determined to cushion domestic producers when the global prices were at the bottom. This was meant to bring stability in the domestic market, which also gives farmers certainty about the prices they will obtain in the market. Prices that were profitable, which then had influence on production, thus supporting domestic production. The decisions by farmers to plant are hugely dependent at what level the domestic reference price will be. This policy would also serve to protect local producers against subsidized international producers and to sustain the local production of these commodities by an inclusion of what we refer in the formula to as a distortion factor. The distortion factor in the formula takes into account the amount by which subsidies have depressed or lowered global prices, that is, the prices of imports. If global prices were low and fell below the floor price, therefore imports coming in at relatively cheap prices, an import duty would be levied in order to bring the import price to the same level as the floor price at which the local producers can compete and be economically viable and sustainable. In that slide, honorable members, we provide a simple example of how these formulae operate. Let us say that the floor price, that is the domestic reference price, is set at $300 per ton. If the import price of wheat, that is the global price, is low, say at $200 per ton, then the import duty will be the difference between the two amounts, which would be $100 per ton. If the import price increases above the domestic reference price, say $350 per ton, then there will be no duty. The floor price would have been determined by ITEC through a rigorous investigation that entails an examination of production, trade, and financial data for a specific period of time. ITEC would then recommend to the Minister of Trade and Industry an appropriate floor price that will contribute to food security. In other words, when ITEC determines the floor price, ITEC takes into account both the need for food availability as well as affordability. Once the Minister of Trade and Industry has accepted ITEC's recommendation, he requests the Minister of Finance to implement, since import tariffs fall within the Customs and Excise Act. Ultimately, the implementation is done by the South African Revenue Service. A simple example that I have given you, honorable members, is just for you to understand the principle around how this formula works. But when you go to the finer detail of how it works, it's much more complex than what I have presented. On the operation of the variable tariff formula, we've had three reviews of the floor price since 1999. The domestic reference price for maize in 1999, when this policy was introduced, it stood at $110 per ton. For maize, this domestic reference price has never been amended since it was determined in 1999. There are differences in these grains in terms of production and the market dynamics. Maize is the largest of the three. Between 2013 and 2015, its average contribution to the gross value of agricultural production was approximately 15%, compared to 3.6% for sugar and 2.6% for wheat. With maize, South Africa has always been self-sufficient and a net exporter, whereas for wheat, we have never been self-sufficient for the past 25 years or so, and we are therefore a net importer. And wheat, compared to maize, is quite sensitive to climatic conditions. What you find with regards to sugar is that sugar has been revised two times, that is the domestic reference price since 1999. It was set at 330 in 2009 and 566 a ton in 2014. Now what you find with regards to the latest domestic reference price for sugar is that when we received the application from the South African Sugar Association, they had requested a reference price of over $700 per ton. Now later on I will show you how, since the last determination of the sugar domestic reference price, how the triggers have occurred and how and what would have happened if we had just given in to the request of $700 per ton. Maize and wheat, honorable members, are staple food and quite critical for food security relative to sugar. And so what you would find is when we do these investigations, in recommending what would be an appropriate level to the Minister of Trade and Industry, we've got to seek a balance in terms of the different and conflicting interests in the value chain, which can be quite hard. What you see in that slide are the changes in the level of protection, that is the duties, since the last review of the variable tariff formula in 2013, and this one is for wheat. For wheat, since 2013, the tariff remained zero for more than a year, but subsequently triggered seven times as shown in that table. As you can see in the second column, those are the world prices. As they go down, the duties would go up, as you see in the last column, and vice versa. when the trigger is upward, it tells you that the global prices are reducing. And when it is downward, the global prices are increasing. Those are the sugar triggers since April 2014. The level of duty on sugar since the implementation of the last increase in the dollar-based reference price was 132 cents per kg when the recommendations were implemented. Subsequently, the tariff has triggered 8 times as shown in that table. As you can see, the last time we recommended a change in the tariff for sugar, that was in May this year, and the tariff went down to around 20%, which means that world prices lately have been going up compared to the reductions that we have seen before. Hence, we end up, as at May, with a lower tariff than the previous tariff that you have seen in terms of the triggers. We now provide a trend analysis of the import data for wheat, maize, and sugar for the period 2013 to 2016. And for 2016, we just have data for the first 6 months. As you can see, honorable members, if you look at the blue bar, wheat imports have always been very high and have escalated in 2015 due to the drought. It's now estimated that the shortage to meet the total demand is 60%. We've got to import 60% to meet our domestic needs. And if for the first 6 months of this year wheat imports stand at about 1.2 million tons, then it tells you we would be more or less at the same levels as 2015 at the end of 2016. Maize, as I have said already, is completely different from wheat. We almost had nothing in terms of imports in 2013. Then we begin to see some imports in 2014. But then there's a dramatic increase in 2015 and 2016. And this is because of the drought. So, in terms of maize, at the time when we've always had the surplus that is self-sufficient and a net exporter, prices have been set at export parity. But now, because of the rise in imports, prices are at import parity, which means that prices of maize have gone up. And as I have already said, this is a staple food, mostly used by low-income earners. But also this has implications for animal feed, for poultry and other meats in terms of rising input costs. With regards to sugar, although we have historically been a surplus producer, as you can see from 2013, we've been importing sugar. We also export sugar. So sugar has always been imported in the past, but not at the levels at which imports of wheat have been coming in. Currently, as IJEC, we are busy with reviewing the domestic reference price and the variable tariff formula for these grains. The Minister of Economic Development in May 2016 directed ITEC to evaluate and investigate the views of the reference price and the variable tariff formulae. The reasons for these reviews are changed circumstances. There is a shortage of the grains due to drought, which necessitates imports, as we have seen in the previous slide on the import trends. The exchange rate fluctuations have seen the rand depreciate significantly in the past 3 years. We published the initiation of these investigations for public comment on the 22nd of July this year. The Commission considered the first submission on it in its meeting of the 13th this month, and in that meeting we also got oral presentations from Grain South Africa as well as the National Chamber of Milling. The first submissions on sugar and maize will serve before the Commission in the October meeting, that is the 11th of October this year. The aim, honorable members, is to complete these reviews before the end of this year. Now on poultry tariffs, import tariffs on poultry meat were increased towards the end of 2013. The increases were based on an application brought by the South African Poultry Association on behalf of a number of companies, Rainbow, Astral, Sovereign, Half-Gri, and Stream Poultry. The justification for these increases in tariffs included the rising levels of imports coming in at relatively low prices, the loss of market share by domestic producers, decreasing profitability in the face of low price imports, the price disadvantages that domestic producers were experiencing against imports, and the input cost pressures. In that slide, honorable members, what we are showing are the tariff rates that were requested by the South African Poultry Association when they made an application. So in the third column, what you see are where the existing duties then, and then in the fifth column, those would be the ad valorem equivalents that were requested by SAPA. You will see in the next slide that what we ultimately recommended to the Minister of Trade and Industry was a bit less than what the association requested. Now, if you look at the column on product description, the various types of chicken meat, the last one on bone-in portions, that's the type of chicken meat where the domestic producers are facing the biggest challenge. The biggest challenge in competing with low price imports. Because in industrialized nations, that is the EU and the US, there's preference for white meat and the brown meat, which is the bone-in, the legs, thighs, and the wings. Those are not preferred in industrialized nations, and as a result, they have an oversupply. And this excess capacity gets exported globally, including South Africa. And so this is the biggest challenge that the domestic industry faces in terms of imports when one looks at the various types of chicken meat. In that slide, honorable members, in the last column, those were the tariffs that, based on a rigorous and prudent investigation of all the relevant production, trade, and financial sectors, we ultimately recommended to the Minister of Trade and Industry and were approved. And the significant increase that we saw was where the biggest problem is, the bone-in portions. Of course, we had a huge increase in whole bird. Whole bird in terms of market segmentation is in the high end of the market. As you can see further down, with regards to the two types of chicken meat, offal and carcass. With offal, the duties were at 27%, and we had an increase of about 3%. With carcasses, it was 27%, and we had about 4% increase. And so as we were doing the investigation, we had to differentiate these various chicken meat types, taking into account the market segments. Offal and carcass are an important source of trade or protein for low-income earners and for the poor. And so we had to be sensitive to that in recommending the increases in tariffs. As the honorable members, on trade remedies, there are anti-dumping duties on bone-in chicken meat portions originating from the United States of America that were imposed in the year 2000. These anti-dumping duties have been maintained through what we refer to as sunset reviews in 2006 and 2012. And so anti-dumping duties have a lifespan of about 5 years within which you must hold a sunset review to assess the likelihood of continued injury, dumping and injury. And through these sunset reviews, we recommended that these anti-dumping duties should be maintained. In December 2015, a temporary rebate was created to allow for a free anti-dumping duty importation of 65,000 tons of U.S. bone-in chicken portions annually. This was done, as you might recall, honorable members, in the context of South Africa's continued participation under AGOA. Since this rebate was put in place, what we have observed is that the take-up of the quota has been relatively low than what was expected. We see South African importers continue to prefer importing from the European Union. And on bone-in portions, where the problem is, the majority of the imports are from the European Union. And this is despite some of the anti-dumping duties that we have on bone-in chicken portions against some of the EU members, that is Germany, Netherlands, and the UK, which is in the exit. These anti-dumping duties were recently imposed, that is February 2015. And we've seen this increase in imports from the EU despite these anti-dumping duties. And in some cases, at some times, we've had the avian influenza, but the imports continue to come in. Part of this is because of the full implementation of the tariff reductions in terms of the trade agreement that South Africa has with the EU. Duties now on poultry meat originating from the EU stand at zero. So the duty-free importation of chicken from the EU. So the increases that I spoke to do not apply to the European Union since we have a trade agreement with the EU. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Siyabulela. Honorable members, that was the presentation. You are now allowed to ask questions. Honorable Yongloot. And Honorable Maloy, Honorable Papa.
Now, I noticed that the DIP on maize has not been, has remained at the same level since 1999. I'm curious to know what the reason for that is. I am also aware of the fact that Grain SA has asked for a review of the maize price, and you've mentioned here that there's a meeting on the 11th of October to review the maize price. What I would like to know, what was the basis of Grain SA's application to increase the price? And then I'm curious to know, who are the tariff role players? Who do you talk to when you look at import tariffs? Do you involve producers and buyers and mill rights, etc., etc.? Then secondly, I would like to know, how are farmers protected against overseas subsidies? Thank you.
Honorable Maloy.
Thank you very much. Just one question. In your presentation, unfortunately, I don't have your structure or your organogram. You might have done that previously in your interaction with the portfolio committee. Who represents the agricultural sector and the consumers in your organization? And are they making meaningful inputs in whatever you do in your organization? Thank you very much.
Honorable Chata.
Thank you, Chair. Just one question, because one question was covered by Honorable Youngblood. The intention is clear of the program and the reviews and of the policy, but now I would like to have an idea of the impact, especially on the local producers for whom it was intended. And I'm sure you'll get this mainly from the feedback from the beneficiaries. Thank you.
You can respond to the questions.
Thank you, Chair. On the first set of questions by Honorable Youngblood, the domestic reference price for maize, as indicated, has never changed since 1999. Most of these changes and reviews in the past were initiated on the basis of an application from the domestic producers. And for me, for a very long time, we've never had an application to increase domestic reference price. As I have also said, with maize, when you compare maize with wheat, what you find is that the production and market conditions differ. Maize is domestically in a very favorable position than, for example, wheat. We've been self-sufficient all the time, except for now that we've been hit by drought. We've always been a net exporter. And so the maize subsector has never really had challenges with regards to low-priced imports as we have seen with regards to the other grains. Yes, lately they did approach us to review the reference price, and as we were assessing their application, this was then overtaken by events, in the sense that we got the policy directive from the minister to initiate a proactive review of the tariff. And the reasons were the changed circumstances in terms of the drought, the exchange rate fluctuations, as well as the concern with regards to food inflation. The process that we follow in terms of these investigations is open, it's transparent, and very much involved. And so throughout the investigation, all interested parties participate. So when we initiate an investigation, we would invite all interested parties, that is the various associations, the companies, and any member of the public interested, to provide us with comments and submissions. For these reviews, for example, on the one on wheat where we are a bit ahead, we had Grain South Africa as well as the millers coming to the commission to present their written submissions. So the process is very participatory, honorable member. With regards to the problem of subsidies provided by industrialized nations to their farmers, which then results in an oversupply and the lowering of global prices, which becomes a problem for our farmers, we have factored into the formula when we calculate the domestic reference price a distortion factor. And this is the amount by which we would estimate the subsidies have lowered the global prices, and so we would include that amount in the domestic reference price so that the playing field between our domestic producers and foreign producers and export is leveled. Ricard, do you want to take the question by Honorable Kafa, and then I'll take the last one?
Thank you, Honourable Members, for the opportunity. Honourable Jobu, with regard to your question in terms of intention, saying that the intention of the policy is very clear, but what would be the impact on stakeholders? During the course of the investigation, ISAC also consults with BFAP, the Bureau for Food and Agricultural Policy, who also then assist ITAC in making impact analysis to determine what the impact would be of a specific scenario at that time in terms of the level of the duty on consumers. For instance, in the instance of we would request BFAP to make an impact analysis in terms of what would be the impact on rent prices if specific level of duty is determined, or with a reference price, that the level of the specific reference price is determined. So basically, in terms of the policy, what Commission endeavours to do is to balance the profitability of farmers on the one hand with the affordability of food to consumers on the other hand. But I'm not sure if I'm answering your question.
On the last one, was it Honorable Maloyi, on the structure, the Commission reports to two departments, Department of Trade and Industry and Economic Development. Economic Development is responsible for administering certain parts of the ITA Act that we operate within, that is the policy strategy, they do the funding, and we report to EDD. But once we have completed the investigations, the recommendations go to the Minister of Trade and Industry. Once the Minister of Trade and Industry has made the decision, he will request the Minister of Finance to implement, since import tariffs fall within the ambit of Customs and Excise Act. What we have are various units, tariff investigations, trade remedies, import and export control. So the investigative staff would do the investigations and present their findings to the sitting of the commission. the commission sits once a month and does one thing just to evaluate the findings of our investigative staff and make recommendations to the Minister of Trade and Industry. The commissioners are drawn from a broad range of sectors, agriculture, business, organized labor, finance, economics. We have, as part of the commissioners, so you have a full-time commissioner, that is the chief commissioner, and 9 part-time commissioners. One commissioner is from the Department of Agriculture, another commissioner is from Treasury. Those would be the 2 departments. Briefly, that's how we are structured.
Thanks, Chief Commissioner. Honorable Mshaika and Honorable Maloyi, follow up.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair President. The government of Abed Gordas has been subsidized for a reason. It is the biggest concern to our country, to our local government. Because we are working also the several states that was in 2015 to allow for a free and campaign within the position of the health of the staff of the
Institute.
Honorable,
can I talk to your mic?
So I'm saying the dumping of the agri products by the subsidized foreign industries is the biggest concern to our local farmers, indigenous. Because this is resulting now from the temporary rebate that was created in 2015 to allow for a free and dumping to be in position of this 65,000 tons of USA bonded in chicken. My question is now, how long is it this temporary rebate will be in effect? Because we can see now that it's not very good to our local farmers. So how long is it going to take? Another question, I've just seen that we, as a country, we're not in a position as it is of now to export sugar. I want to check now if perhaps now would it be the position wherever, or perhaps if there's no drought, can we be in a position now to export sugar just as we would be with meat where there's no drought? Thank you very much.
Honorable Maloyi.
But just to put a sharing on top of the first question raised on the rebate, what is the impact to the our domestic producers currently? This free anti-dumping duty for the United States, what is the impact? Is it negative? Positive, and what if it's negative, what are we doing to ensure that our domestic producers are not adversely affected? The second one, you approved the tariff regime. Our stakeholders, and here I'm referring in particular to our domestic producers, are they happy? Are they satisfied? If not, what are the fundamental issues that they are raising as it relates to this specific matter? Then, in answering my question, should I assume that you are saying to us that the only person who is representing the sector is a commissioner from the Department of Agriculture? So the agricultural sector, your consumers and so on, are not necessarily represented because it's a commission. So you've considered all the necessary skills, the expertise, and so on and so forth. Is that what you are saying when you answer the question which I posed earlier? Well, thank you very much.
let me ask a question from the chair. You have indicated that the request from the Grain SA was overtaken by the minister's decision or instruction to the commissioners to review. So, looking at the present situation of drought, do you have Can you give us any picture? What will be the situation? The second one is on the safety measures. I know that you might not deal with, but you are dealing with the terrorists. Because one of the area of concern as the portfolio committee is the safety part of our food in the country, and which the other function is in health, the other function is in trade and industry, where you report. Particularly with the anti-dumping things, your USA, which is the culprit here, not complying to assertions in most instances. I'm not sure. I know that you might have specific mandate, but how do you influence the safety part? Because your rebates or your tariffs influence the number that might come in the country, but the safety part you're not in control of. How do you influence that, or what is it? Not the safety part does not actually influence your tariff determination. Thanks. I hope that's not complicated to answer.
Thanks, Chair. On the question on dumping being the biggest concern, Honorable Chaisha, we have acted historically against dumped imports, in particular from the U.S. So there are those standing anti-dumping duties on imports of chicken originating, the chicken portions home in, originating from the U.S. And as I have indicated, we have maintained these over the years through sunset reviews. You will recall, Honorable Members, that the negotiation between South Africa and the U.S. around the continuous participation of South Africa in AGOA, the negotiations were very tough. And so South Africa had to weigh giving a concession on what the U.S. was asking for in terms of the quota on chicken. It had to weigh that with its export interests in other sectors where it is benefiting, including autos and some of the processed agricultural products. Hence, you have this association-to-association negotiation of the quota. And ultimately, that quota was settled at 65,000 tons annually. Now, the utilization of that quota is quite low. It's not what we expected. What we are seeing is that South African importers continue to prefer importing from the European Union. And so that quota is not replacing some of the imports from the EU in the manner that it was expected. And so we've got to understand why is it that South African importers continue preferring at present to source from the EU. Yes, once we are out of this cycle where we have been impacted negatively by drought, the production of sugar will go back to its previous good times, and we will continue to export sugar. The question on whether domestic producers are happy with the current tariffs in place. When we are approached by domestic producers, remember their focus is on what is solely in their interest. But what we come out with would be based on an objective assessment of industry data, wherein, as ITEP, we got to balance the interest in the value chain. So you have the farmers, you have the processors, the retailers, at the end you have the consumers. Hence, Rika was saying the objective is food security. So it's not just availability from domestic producers, but affordability, particularly for the poor. So what happens is, in most cases, what we would recommend as an appropriate tariff would be less than what would have been requested by the domestic producers. They are looking after what is in the sectoral interest, whereas we've got to balance the interest in the whole value chain. Rika, you want to take the question on the performance of the rebate on AGOA? Yeah.
Honourable Chair, the temporary rebate, lower rebate, was implemented on the 18th of December 2015. The 65,000 metric tons that was allocated were divided by four, so a specific quantity of 16,250 tons was available during this period until the official AGOA rebate kicked in, which was the 1st of April 2016. In that initial phase, we saw that portion was only utilized, or only 55% of that portion was utilized in that first initial period. That period was governed by, the only condition was on a first-come, first-served basis. So even on that basis, only 55% was utilized. Subsequently, conditions were attached to who would qualify under the rebate provision. And in quarter one, only 23% of that quota was utilized. So one can see that the utilization at this stage is quite low.
Chair, you had two questions. The first one was on the maize application that was overtaken by the review, and what would be the situation in future with regard to the maize tariff. We are currently busy with the investigation. The findings will be presented to the Commission in October. The Commission will then have to consider all the relevant facts and make a decision. I cannot preempt what the tariff protection will be once the Commission has made its determination. But let me assure honourable members that the Commission really bases its recommendations on rigorous and prudent investigations. The process is really based on industry data. It's open and transparent. There's full participation by all the interests in the value chain. With regards to food safety, as you were saying, Chair, that falls outside the scope of ITEC. That's the responsibility of DAF. What is happening in the administration of this quota, the US quota, the importers first applied to DAF, and so DAF would ensure that they have met all the requirements in terms of the guidelines, including the safety requirements. I guess DAF also does the inspections. We are only, as ITEC, involved at the end of the application process, where then we would approve a rebate permit that we then communicate with us. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Honorable members, any other questions? I think, okay, Honorable Clarke.
Whether the commission do have some experience of a contradiction between the local producers and the local importers. Whether there are some cases where others feel disadvantaged by the situation which favors the other. Thank you.
You can respond.
Honorable Tapa, in almost all these investigations, you have these contradictions, you have these conflicting interests in the value chain. Let's take, for example, the wheat value chain. So you have the wheat farmers represented by Grain South Africa. They would be calling for the Muslim to benefit the farmers. They wouldn't be coming in calling for less, otherwise they would be misrepresenting the interests of the farmers. And then you have the millers, the big five, that also have an association. They are interested in what they would be referring to as a competitive price for them, because wheat is, for the flour that they are making, an input cost. So they would be interested in managing the input cost. And so they would be coming to the commission not speaking with one voice because of the different interests that they represent. And then you have the bakers, some of which are vertically integrated with the millers. And then you have the retailers and then the consumers. And with tariffs, there's always a concern that tariffs have a price-raising effect for consumers. And so you want consumers to access food at affordable prices. This is the delicate balancing of interests that I was talking to, that as the commission we must make. It's a very challenging process, but it's doable.
Honorable Mzaisa.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Perhaps I might have missed this one, and apologize for that, if it could be explained. What did you say now is the current import tariffs on maize now? What is the current? Yes, that is the question.
There is no tariff on maize.
The domestic reference price remains at the level that it was set many years ago. The reason why the tariff has not triggered with regards to maize is because the global prices have remained at the same level or above that domestic reference price. So we've not had a trigger. But we were approached by Grain SA to review the domestic reference price. Depending at what level we place the domestic reference price, you might then have a trigger in relation to changes in the global prices. But we don't have a tariff currently.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chief Commissioner, for your enriching presentation. We want to thank you very much and send our thanks to other commissioners for allowing me to come here and present. At least we are now clarified in terms of how you operate, how you determine your tariffs. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks, Chair.
Okay, you are released if you you want to go. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Honourable members, we have to receive apologies from Honourable Stein, Honourable Sebekulu, Honourable Tongwane, Honourable Matale, Honourable Kruka, Honourable Santana, Honourable Mwabe, and Honourable Paulson. So we have noted their apologies. Honourable members, next week we'll start with the hearings for the province. For the provinces, we have invited the provinces, Grain SA, ARC and Weather Services. We will be looking at their readiness for the planting season, what are the challenges, and are we, as a sector, we ready, and in terms of the gap that was outlined, particularly by the Grain SA, on them not meeting the target for this year, what is it that they think should happen? And so we on Tuesday we'll start with the finalization of the bill. After that we'll then go into those hearings, and the whole week we'll be focusing on even with the provinces, because most of the implementation are done in the provinces, particularly on the issues of subsistence farming and your household production on the ground. So we would appreciate if members can avail themselves for that. That will be part of the oversight that we do on the conditional grant. And thank you very much for coming to this meeting, the meeting again. Thank you.
Yes. Oh.